When you're expecting God to speak and you're really listening, he speaks more. And he starts just opening up scripture, starts opening up the words he's saying to you and just breathing life into them. And I love it when he breathes life into his word. We're going to talk about prayer has wings this morning. And Jesus, we just ask you to breathe life and speak these words into us today in a new way, a live way, a way that awakens our spirit to claim your words by faith and hold on to your promises until we see them. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I was reading Colossians 4:2. That's our verse this morning, Colossians 4:2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So we're gonna get ready. Before we can continue in a prayer, we need to know what prayer we're going to continue in. So first, let's talk about getting ready to pray a prayer that will be just loaded with faith. Because faith has to be based on something God said, something God is going to do. It can't just be based on what we wish he would do or what we want him to say. That's why we don't pray for, we just wake up and say, God, I want a brand new car. I'd like a pink Cadillac or something, you know, and then I'm going to believe that until it happens, and it may never happen. And when people start praying what they want God to do instead of what he said he's going to do, and it doesn't happen, then they say they're losing faith. But they're not losing faith because it wasn't faith. It wasn't faith until God said yes. I taught my kids that they needed to pray when they're asking their dad for something. They needed to pray, even for the impossible things that they knew would never happen, because the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. It's okay to pray the things you want God to do, but then we need to listen and find out if he says yes or if he says no. Because you can only hold on to something he said yes to. So when they wanted their dad to do something, or they wanted to do something and they were asking dad for permission, they would go in with a, Dad, can I go here? Can I do this? No, because he's quick on the no. He was always quick with the no. But it was something really big, then they were sure he was going to say no. And I said, you know what? You're not trusting God. When you pray, you need to pray with faith that God can change his heart. And then if God doesn't change his heart, take that answer as though it's from God telling you no, because he could have changed his heart. And they began to see that happening. God was changing his heart. And all they had to say was, God, can I? And he'd say no. And they would say, would you pray about it? And then we knew if he went and prayed about it, God would speak to him. So there were yeses and there were nos. But when you get a yes, then you have something to hold on to. We don't want to pray in the flesh. We don't want to pray in selfishness or in greed. We don't want to pray in depression. But I have this verse I use when I write. I've typed it up. And every time I write, I change this word to write. And today we're going to change some words to pray as we look at Colossians 10:3. We're going to keep coming back to that other verse, but right now, 2 Corinthians 10:3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I changed a word in there and said, for though I walk in the flesh, I do not write after the flesh. Today we're going to change words to pray. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not pray after the flesh. Because see, everything we do, we want to use this verse. I don't want to write in the flesh. I don't want to pray in the flesh. I don't want to walk in the flesh. And I don't want to war in the flesh. So let's do that as we go through these. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So when I write, I want God to pull down strongholds through the words I write. When you pray, you want your prayer to pull down strongholds through that prayer. So let's read it again. For though the power and the confidence and the weapons of our prayers, they're not going to be carnal. They're going to be mighty through God to pull down strongholds. When you pray in agreement with God, you release the power of God to do something. Right. So we want to surrender the flesh, and we want to pray in the spirit. We want to pray in the power of God.
Yes.
Let's work at verse 5. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We want to decide before we even pray, God, I think I know what I want, but I don't want what I want. I want you to cast down every imagination in my brain, and I want my thoughts to come in obedience to what you want. Now, there's some things I prayed for, and God gave them to me, and then I realized I didn't want them. Sometimes he'll do that just to clear you of some things that you think you want out of this life. But the ultimate is to bring those thoughts into agreement with God, because he knows your life. He knows you. He knows what you really need. And he knows the things that would hinder you. So we really want to capture those thoughts. Bring them in obedience to Christ. Then after we do that, and we know that we're praying in agreement with God, we need to choose to trust him. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. God, I realize that what I'm thinking I want to pray for might not be in agreement with you, because I don't think like you. My ways are not your ways. I think according to flesh, what I want, what would feel good, what would make me happy. You think according to what is good for me, what is right. And I want to submit my thoughts to you. In verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Wouldn't you like your prayer to be based on God's thoughts? Yep. So let's just say, God, I surrender my thoughts. Let's take some of these steps right now. God, I want to pray in agreement with you.
Yes.
What have you been praying for? Do you have something you've prayed for a long time and you haven't seen it materialize yet? Do you have something you desperately need or want? Maybe you've already come in agreement with God and he's already said yes, but you don't see it happening. Do you have a prayer like that? We're going to choose what we're going to pray for and claim today. But maybe it's something you've already been praying for a long time. Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but it waters the earth and it makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Did you hear that? Seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You're the sower, and God wants to plant a prayer seed in you. He wants to plant that little mustard seed of faith. Remember, the Bible said if you even had faith as a mustard seed, you could move mountains. That's because if God said he wanted to move a mountain and you agreed with him, it would happen. Faith is based on what God said. So he wants to plant a seed of faith in you so that you will pray it. Because see, God works through prayer. He works through our words, our prayers that release his spirit to do something. And when he does something, it's like bread for those who will eat it. So imagine your prayer is just going to go out and it's going to put a little seed down the ground, which is going to grow into the wheat that will make the bread that will feed someone. Let's imagine you're praying for a lost person and your prayer is that little seed of faith that's going to water the ground and continually feed into that person until they come to the Lord. So you want to have bread that feeds people when you pray. You want power in your prayer, then you have to have a seed. You've got to have a little mustard seed to get started. And God says, here's the seed. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. When you have the word of God on the thing you're praying, it will accomplish what he sends it to do. Now, what exactly does it mean that it's going to accomplish? It depends on what kind of seed it is, doesn't it? If your seed is for someone to get saved, then and God said, yes, they're going to get saved. I prayed for an uncle for about 35 years, I saw nothing in him that indicated that my prayers were reaching him. Nothing. In fact, his words were, I will never go to church. I will never give my life to God. I don't care what you say to me, I'm not listening. I witnessed to him. I wrote him letters. He threw them away. He rejected everything I said. I saw no indication that that prayer was being answered for 35 years. 35 years later, he had a heart attack in Grand Rapids as he passed through, right here where I live. One more chance, I got to go up and talk to him, sow some more seed of God, and I prayed. And I heard, as he traveled on, that he died trusting the Lord. He had given his heart to God. About a month later. 35 years of watering that seed, but it brought forth what God sent it to do, and he was saved. It did come in. Now Isaiah 55:12 says, for you shall go out with joy, you'll be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills will break forth into you singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Have you ever got that excited in God? You could almost imagine trees getting excited and clapping those little leaves and celebrating with you. And I know I write, so I do get kind of dramatic. But in one of my books, the kids go out and have a praise party out there, you know, and they're throwing leaves around, and you can imagine the trees are clapping their hands. And with the trees, talk to them, you know, in the book. But trees are alive. You know, everything that has life contains something of God. That's why he says, if you wouldn't worship me, the rocks would cry out. They would literally cry out. Rocks are known to record sound. They have heard the voice of Jesus. All of nature contains something of God. And he said, if once that you really believe that your prayer is in agreement with God, you're going to get so excited. You're going to get excited before you see it happen. And there'll be a peace. When you're praying, there'll be this peace that comes. Our prayer has wings. The Holy Spirit's wings. Often we think of him as a big white dove. And he carries our prayer. When you pray in agreement with God, it's like you have just released this dove. And he's in flight. His little wings are flapping. He's doing everything in preparation to bring that prayer in. He is carrying it in the power of the Spirit. Your prayer has wings. Has the wings of God. Now when God says continue in prayer, back in our first verse in Colossians 4:2, he said continue in prayer. God said, now you know what you're praying for. You know that it's of God. I want you to continue praying it. Continue praying it. Continue believing it. Keep hanging on to it. Don't let it go. Your faith needs to grip it now and never let go. You need to resolve. Time makes no difference. 1,000 years is like a day to God. So you need to not stop believing, not seeing your prayer in flight. It's in process. It's happening. I'm going to share, I've shared bits and pieces of our prayer house, our promise house. But I want to just kind of encapsulate that this morning because it's a prayer that I have held on to. I couldn't tell you how many years because I have a bad memory, but Harvey could tell you. How many years ago we rented a house? We had been living in campers, people's basements, moving every couple of weeks, going all over America, and God settled us down in Grand Rapids. And we said, we will never own a house because we want to stay in the wind with the Spirit and go anywhere God leads us. Then our daughter, Janiyah, who was probably 10 or 12 at the time, said, I want to go live in a real house and go to a real school. We went, well, you can't pray that, Janiyah, because we're evangelists. We travel around, you know. And she said, I think I can, and I think God told me, yes, we're going to have a house. She got a hold of that prayer as a child. Next thing we know, God led us to rent a house. Now, after living in basements, and somebody loaned us a motorhome once. We had a brief time in a motorhome. But after all this traveling and never having a home, he had Harvey settle down and start Tub Glaze. And then we needed a showroom. Back then we needed a showroom. And through Tub Glaze, he led us to rent this house. Immediately, Janaya was in a school and living in a house. It was her promise house first. But then God began showing us that it was our promise house. And he ended up, through scripture, telling us, when you are planted in a place of your own, you will never move again. And he began putting that inside of us. This is your promise house. But we didn't own it yet. And it burnt. A fire came. Harvey helped that fire spread throughout the house, you know, giving it lots of wind. And it spread through and destroyed the house, and we had to move out. And then they remodeled it, and we moved back in, still renting. Now, you remember God said, when we owned it, we would never move again. Well, we lost the house again as we lost our business and all of our money, and we had to move out of the house again. How many years has that been?
We moved out in 95.
Okay. So we're right around 20, 25 years since we left that house. The Lord also said at that time, he gave us scriptures, we printed them up, he gave us all kinds of confirmations that God said this to us, and it became our prayer house. He also said, when you own it, and we didn't own it yet, he also said, there may come a day that you could afford a much better house than this, but this house is my choice for you. We are currently in a much better house than that one. It's probably 10 years newer. It's more modern. It's prettier. It's a better neighborhood. But that's our promise house. So we're still praying for it. Now, when God says continue in prayer, he also intended for us to begin to plan for that prayer to come in. We keep praying it. We don't stop. We're still praying for it. The other day, as I'm thinking about my prayer, I don't know if you've logged on to a prayer yet God has said yes to. I hope so. I hope one has just come up in your mind. This is what God said he's going to do, and I'm hanging on to it. I hope you have yours. I can't imagine yours, but I can get excited and clap hands with the trees when I think about mine. I've sat down and thought about the floor plan, and as our life has changed, how I would lay things out a little bit different. What was Janiah's room would be his office. What was the Tub Glaze showroom would be my office and art room. And I think about how we're going to function in that. Just the other day, I decided that one other little room was going to be a guest room. I just decided to make it an awesome walk-in closet. Sorry for the guests. They'll have to sleep in the one downstairs. I make plans because I know that's going to be my house. I make plans about it. When you continue in prayer, you keep praying for that thing, and you plan for it. You think about it in advance, and you watch for it. You watch for it as though you know it's coming. And you can close your eyes, and you can picture that dove finally circling and landing right here and enfolding you up in his wings and saying, today's your day. Today is the day that I give you that prayer. But you had to hold on to it in faith, because some people, they start just throwing it away. And if you looked at the parable of the seeds, God gives you that mustard seed when he gives you his word. But some people, they get distracted and they throw their seed away. But he wants to plant it in somebody who will hold on to it until it comes. You know, the greatest treasure isn't even the thing you're praying for. The greatest treasure is the faith that you're developing. It's faith that moves mountains. And faith isn't faith until it's tested. It isn't faith until it's what you can't see. It's the evidence that you believe in what you can't see. And the longer you wait for it, the stronger that faith is growing. It has to stand against all odds, stand against every evidence, stand against all the words of those who ridicule and don't believe you. But your faith says, even though I've only got a little bit of faith, I'm still praying. I'm still praying, and I'm not giving up. I love that our verse said, continue in prayer and watch in the same. Watch in the same. Watch in that same thing you're praying for. Look at it. See it. Visualize it. Think about it and plan for it. And then it says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. We begin thanking God because we believe that we're praying for what he wants us to pray for. If you don't have something yet with that kind of faith, I want you to ask God, what's been on your mind while I'm talking? What's come into your mind that you're praying for and waiting for? I want you to ask God right now, God, are you saying yes to my prayer request? Are you saying yes? Just take a minute and ask him and see if you get a yes and a peace in your mind that God is saying yes. You could get a no, and then you need to let it go. But if you get this peace of God that he's saying yes, I want you to let him plant that seed so deep in your spirit that it can begin to grow and grow and grow while you hold on to it. We saw this singer. She's holding on because God had told her he's going to heal her one day. You know, we talked about that eagle this morning. God told me that one day he's going to make some old people young again, physically, literally, youth renewal. He's going to do it. I'm going to preach it. I think I'm going to get it. But you know, sometimes he tests you on things, and he tested me. What if I said I'd make others younger and you give them that gift? Would you give it up from you having it to many having it? Of course I would. That doesn't mean I will have to, but it means I will have to be willing. See, he plays with you through the years you're waiting on your promise. What if you're not the one, Harvey Hampton, that gets to stand up in front of crowds of thousands? What if you train ministers to do it and you sit back and watch them? You go, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He tests you on these things. He may or he may not ask that of you when the time comes. Youth renewal is coming. My promise house is coming. I know so because God said so.
Right.
He confirmed it. He said so. My faith is based on what he said, not just what I want.
Right.
Do you have a prayer promise like that? If you do, get scripture, get confirmation, nail it down so that you know it's from God, and then don't you ever let anybody take it away from you. Never give it up, because it will come. And then we come to the point, watching the same with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, begin thanking him now for what he's going to do before you see him do it.
Yep.
Before you actually see it. As you wait. Now, if I ask my husband, can I have a new car? And he said, yes. Really? You will give me that new car that I want? Yes. I don't fold my arms and say, well, I'll believe you when I see it. I'll believe you when I see the car in my driveway and you hand me the keys. Then I'll thank you for it. No, I'll throw my arms around him, start kissing him and hugging him and thanking him that he said he's going to. I thank him in advance because I believe him when he speaks to me. We need to believe God when he speaks and thank him in advance.
Amen.
For what he said yes to. And you put up that gift, that last picture. I love visualizing things. I just love seeing things in my mind. And I searched through pictures until I found one that said, here's the gift I want to send God. It's just a box full of my heart saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you so much because you said yes. And every time we choose to believe God and start thanking him, it's like sending a gift up to heaven, throwing a little thank you party in heaven. He gets so excited when we thank him. I had a friend who said, I don't know where she got this in scripture or not, but she was complaining because none of her relatives went to church. And she was so depressed about it. And she'd walk in church and go, oh, there's a family and there's a family. And none of my relatives ever come. And she'd gripe and complain. And then she got a hold of thankfulness and she said, you know what? I'm going to start praying that he will bring some of my relatives into the church. And then I'm going to start thanking him in advance before I see it. And she did. And then one day she walked in church and there was her mother-in-law. And she got so excited. And she thanked and thanked and thanked God. And pretty soon other relatives started coming. And she said, you know what? Thankfulness to God. He gets so excited that he multiplies whatever you're thankful about and does more of it for of you. So she learned the multiplication, just thrilling the heart of God until he wanted to do more for you because he loved how you thank him and appreciate him. So thank him for your prayer before you ever see it coming in. That's a gift of faith, and faith, without faith, you can't please God. So show him some faith when you pray and believe his words. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you want us to pray. Thank you that you've chosen to work through our prayers and that you love to do that because you love the relationship with us as we believe you and thank you. And then you just get so excited in our lives. And then we get excited and then we just start clapping hands with trees. Thank you, Lord, for prayer. Thank you for faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.